Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
One of Australia's best-known and award-winning classic pianists has put together an extraordinary collection that has just been released by ABC Classics. It is Gerard Williams who joins us, and it is a collection of beautiful pieces for piano. Gerard, welcome.
Yes, thank you, Deep.
Your time with the piano, it's an intimate connection that has been some many years in the making.
But look, the thing about the Grieg project is the fact that I've had a love affair with Grieg ever since I received a beautiful postcard from my mother when I was age 7. She'd been on a retreat, and she sent me a photograph of this tiny little hut in a bushy setting. And this, many years later, I discovered was Grieg's composer's hut in Bergen. And I've always had this sort of wonderful sort of feeling of mystery about the name Grieg and the music. So the love affair started at that point without me even realizing that it was to do with Grieg. And this is very often the case, you know.
Grieg is certainly one of Norway's greatest composers, but he's renowned for his musicality around landscapes. And I guess that feeds in nicely to your little postcard.
Well, that's exactly right. And as serendipity has it, 4 years ago, I went to Norway for a recital. I've paid two visits there, and I've had two concert tours there in Norway. But the last time, I actually stayed in someone's house who lived right on a fjord, and it was so impressive because it was summertime, and you could actually only have about half an hour of dark at night, and all the rest of the night is twilight,
right?
Which left its impression on me because there was an island in the middle of the fjord, and in the middle of the night I would be looking out, and it's almost as if that island would be lifted up out of the water because of the reflection from the universe and the reflection of the mountains and all that sort of thing, and the mountains all around this fjord, you see. And I think it's essential to actually experience that part of the Norwegian countryside if you're going to be playing the music of Grieg, because as you said quite rightly, his music is absolutely connected to the environment where he lived, and he had his passion there, and he went back there time and time and time again.
That experience that you had, how did it transform the way you play his pieces?
Well, look, it gave me a feeling of the supernatural,
right,
in a funny sort of way, and that supernatural feeling comes through in his music, if you allow it to. Because, of course, a lot of these pieces are pieces that many students at the piano already are familiar with, because some of them are not so difficult, but there are some fiendishly difficult ones, and, of course, the suites, such as the Peregrine Suite and also the Holberg Suite, they are fully-fledged concert pieces, and they are fiendishly difficult. But you've got to understand the countryside and its spirituality in order to let that come through. And I think a lifetime of involvement with his music, which I've had, stands in good stead with this, stood in good stead with this particular recording.
It's titled Morning Moods. It's a daunting task to undertake something like this, no doubt. How long was it in the making?
Well, look, overall it was over a period of about 4 months, and we literally recorded on 2 weekends.
Right.
The second weekend we actually spent quite a bit of time filming, making little short clips and so on, and they're all on the YouTube and all that sort of thing, and in the advertising campaign for ABC and ABC Records Universal Recording.
The relationship that you have with your piano, tell me about that, because you're using an inherently Australian piano for this particular recital.
That's right. Well, the reason why I chose this particular piano for this particular project, which, of course, you might be aware that I recorded all the Beethoven works on the Stewart and Sons piano, because I felt that that music was so, that music came so to its right place in the sound spectrum, because it's got such wonderful sort of clarity, it's got such brilliance, it's got such drama, and it's got an ability that you can actually play any level of sound absolutely with your fingertip, whereas most other pianos, they have a built-in mechanism that stops you from actually making an ugly sound, whereas with the Stewart, you can actually make an ugly sound if you want to, but you can also make a beautiful, singing, gloriously uplifting sort of sound, you know.
Australia has a bit of a history with its pianos and its manufacturing of them. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, well, look, we're dealing with a country of very few people. And, of course, the Beale pianos are very famous in this country. And they were made over a period of 50 or 60 years. And they were very good workhorses, but they never quite had the level of projection that you really want in a concert hall. I don't know whether there are many recordings of the Beale pianos around, but the Stewart certainly stands up to rigorous competition with the other major pianos in the world, such as Steinway, Bechstein, and Fazioli. And the critics have certainly proven to me that they feel that my performances of these Beethoven sonatas and also the concertos of Beethoven stand up to serious comparison with the greatest of pianos and the greatest of artists, which of course is a great it's a wonderful feather in my cap,
it's a beautiful accolade. Not all of the tracks are of the complexity of those suites. Tell us about some of the simpler tracks that are on this album.
Well, some of the simpler ones, for instance, one that springs to mind immediately is The Lonely Wanderer, which he wrote at a time when he was outside of Bergen. In fact, he was outside of Norway. He was living at that time in Copenhagen. And he had always this feeling of nostalgia. And with nostalgia, you've got to realize that nostalgia is actually something very beautiful. It can also be very sad, but very often beauty and sadness are connected. And I really feel that with paintings. When you see a really sad painting, you think that is a really beautiful painting. I don't know many happy paintings that you would say that are happy and are also beautiful. Yes, there might be some, you know, but there's always a tinge of pain. For instance, The Laughing Cavalier by Franz Hals, for instance, is very nice to look at, and it's a happy face, but there's actually a bit of sadness in the eyes. And sadness and beauty are actually very closely connected, you know?
Yes, absolutely. And I guess it's about translating that emotion, whether it is in paint or in its musicality.
Oh, absolutely. I think Grieg was one of these composers who wore his emotions very much on the surface, on the sleeve, as it were, you know. And it's exposed to the people, exposed to the listeners. And he gained a great following in his lifetime because he traveled quite a lot extensively himself, played his concerto a lot himself. And in the last year of his life, he actually met up with Percy Grainger, which is an interesting sideline also. And Percy actually played the Grieg concerto, and in fact you can get a copy of it where there's a piano roll of Percy Grainger playing the Grieg piano concerto with John Hopkins and the Melbourne Symphony Orchestra. I don't know whether it's still commercially available, but the interesting thing about this relationship with Percy Grainger and Grieg, it was almost like a love affair. He was Grieg in his early 60s, and he came across this beautiful young man, Percy, because Percy was stunning looking. He had incredibly piercing eyes and a scintillating personality, and he was a great eccentric. And there's actually a picture of them in the Bergen house where Grieg lived, of Percy and Grieg sitting there having a cup of tea in the garden. And it's just it was a beautiful connection towards the end of Grieg's life, that he had this sort of connection with a performing musician who was also devoted to Grieg's music, you know.
Well, a delightful recollection and a beautiful rendition of Grieg's work in Morning Mood. Gerard Willems, thank you so much for joining us on the line today.
Well, that's a great pleasure. It was a pleasure to talk to you.
GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with Joy.